You are listening to Water Online Radio, broadcasting from AWWA ACE 2013, live in Denver, Colorado. This show is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, enabling water industry professionals to make informed decisions. WaterOnline.com. Now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon from Denver. This is day three of AWWA ACE 13 and Water Online Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Todd Youngblood. Todd, this guy got applause during a sound check. I think we're in for an interesting conversation.
I'm pretty sure that's unprecedented. We've had applause for guests before, but not on a sound check.
Well, welcome to the show, Lee Odell. He is the Water Treatment Global Technology Lead with CH2M Hill. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for making time to join us. Lee, before we get into our conversation, take a few seconds and just tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. I've been a water treatment plant operator and consulting engineer for the last 26 years.
So you're a seasoned veteran is what you're saying.
I've been around a while.
All right. Well, go deep on CH2M Hill. What do you guys do? How do you serve your market?
Well, I'm in the water business group. We do all kinds of water treatment, water supply, wastewater and stormwater projects throughout the world.
Talk a little bit about things utilities do or don't do that causes them to underperform.
Well, in water treatment plants, there's just a lot of little things that you have to keep your eye on. For example, the pH of the water can change during the day as algae grows inside the plant, and it can make an impact on the performance. In iron and manganese removal plants, looking at the species of iron and manganese that come through the plant can really give you a clue to what you need to do to fix it. And in lime softening plants, a little calculation like calcium carbonate precipitation potential can really help.
Is the typical utility, are they doing enough to monitor these things? I mean, give me a profile of the typical utility. Are they doing enough to monitor those things?
I think we have all kinds of monitoring data. It's whether or not we're really putting it to the best use.
If they're doing anything
is usually
with it.
The challenge, yeah.
So I just want to clarify that. You're saying most plants, I mean, you gave examples of two or three different types of plants. You're saying in a typical treatment plant that the right technology is, in fact, in place?
Well, I think the technologies that are in place, by and large, work pretty darn well, yeah.
Okay, so it really is a matter of using what's already there?
Yeah.
Well, why would, this is an obvious question, why, if I'm a plant manager, let's say, and I've already made the investment to put the right equipment in there, why on earth would I not be using it to its greatest potential? What's keeping me from doing that?
Well, you know, the predominant mission of a lot of water utilities is to provide a safe and reliable water supply. So they tend to be pretty risk-averse folks, and they don't really want to push things to the limit where they think it might jeopardize either public health or reliability.
Talk about some technologies or some pieces of equipment that utilities should be looking at to save money.
So we just gave a presentation internally with our company this morning on a new biological treatment system that's in use in Japan, and those folks came over here, and it's a chemical-less system, doesn't use any chemicals, that removes iron, manganese, hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, and arsenic. So it can be a real savings for capital and O&M costs that way.
Yeah, speaking of capital, I mean, it might be a great idea to install the technology that you just talked about, but the capital constraints are always there. I mean, how big an issue is that in your mind?
It's a tremendous issue. It's probably one of the biggest challenges for water utilities for several years to come. They're all seeing revenues decline as people use less and less water, and the costs of treating water and running a utility continue to grow.
Talk about some regulations and new or upcoming regulations and that are forcing utilities to do some immediate upgrades.
Yeah. There are several regulations coming down the pipeline, but I always sort of laugh when people use the word immediate because
well said.
Utilities are kind of, you know, they want to evaluate things and see how other folks have done. And the regulatory agencies aren't really known for their speed as well. But we know there are some things floating around about cybersecurity that could cause some more immediate upgrades. EPA has announced they're going to regulate chlorinated VOCs. That could involve some treatment changes for some systems that don't have the treatment that comes out in the rule. Then there's lots of other things, including endocrine disruptors and perchlorate and hexavalent chromium that are in the pipeline.
Should I assume, Lee, that CH2M Hill is positioned nicely to deal with some of these upcoming regulations?
We're definitely working our way there, yes.
In what way? I mean, what kind of things are you doing?
Well, one of the papers that we're giving at this conference tomorrow is some experience that we've had running a hexavalent chromium removal plant for the last 8 years, and pretty useful data for systems that are facing that regulation.
So regulation obviously can force upgrade or the need for upgrades. I will no longer say immediate. What are some other causes that will require an upgrade?
Yeah, you know, we used to see a lot of plant expansions and new plants as a result of growth in water demand, but I think now we're predominantly seeing replacement of aging infrastructure and projects that improve reliability.
Yeah, what are the key things that are driving the implementation of new technologies? I mean, you talked about regulation. That's an obvious one. The need to save money, I would think.
Yeah, technology improvements that can really save operating costs and make business sense for utilities are among those that are going to the head of the line.
Talk about, I mean, financing is obviously the elephant in the room on all
right.
of these conversations. I mean, is there the financing for these needs? I mean, we keep hearing, we've interviewed a lot of people on the show, Lee, and a lot of them say half a trillion to $1 trillion needed to get infrastructure up current. I mean, talk about the finance struggle we have.
Yeah, the financing needs are great, and utilities have been hit hard from a revenue point of view. There is an act that passed the Senate just last month called the Water Infrastructure Finance Innovation Act that would be a new source of funding for water utilities, and the American Water Works Association supports that bill as well.
New source of funds is federal?
Yes, federal funds.
We haven't heard about that.
No, I haven't. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, it's actually... go ahead.
No, do you have a feel for the magnitude of that? I mean, how much are we talking about?
Well, I believe are starting a pilot project of around $500 million, but the full-blown act would be several billion dollars of new financing, and it's really aimed at larger projects over $20 million.
Okay, I mean, that can have some serious impact.
Sure can.
You know, if it happens, I'm making air quotes, immediately. I want to shift back again. We're sitting in this giant room. I mean, it's like a temple to new technology. What kind of things do you see coming along technologically that are really game-changer kind of deals?
That's a great question. I think that we are really starting to see a lot more interest. Well, first, I'd say from a treatment point of view, there are technologies that don't sacrifice reliability or public safety. There's a tremendous amount of interest in biological treatment systems that not only remove a multitude of things at the treatment plant, but provide a more stable water quality out in the distribution system as well. And I think that'll be a focus in the future.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, that we're sitting here doing an interview at age 2023, 10 years hence. And
you got your crystal ball with you, right, Lee?
Yeah,
yes.
You know, and so what are the big challenges that will have been overcome, perhaps, in the 10 years' time? In other words, what are the challenges that we're going to be facing us in the next decade, and how do we get out of those?
So let me just answer that by saying the new plants that we see go in 20 years ago don't look like the plants that we see go in today.
Sure.
So 20 years ago, we had clarification and sedimentation and filtration, and today we see a lot more high-rate clarification with ozone and biologically active carbon filters. So I would guess that in another 20 years, we'll see, you know, maybe another leap of technology in that point of view.
I'm curious about a day in the life of Lee O'Dell.
Oh,
what on earth does a global technology lead do? do exactly?
I answer a lot of emails.
That's your job description?
Yes. You could do nothing but sit in an office and answer emails if you wanted to.
It's an exciting life you lead, but we appreciate the work that you're doing. Hey, look, Ace 13, I mean, what have been, two-part question, what have been your goals, and your being yours and CH2M Hill's goals and objectives at the show, one? Two, walking around this, as Todd said, this hall of technology and innovation, what struck you as interesting and exciting?
You know, the exhibits is my favorite part of the show. I love looking around at all the new equipment and technology, try to keep my eye on new trends that are occurring and new tools that we can use.
Well, as long as we're looking out into the future, what struggles do you see? I mean, there's not enough obstacles already to moving ahead, improving water treatment technology and results. But are there new issues that are arising or that you see on the horizon?
Yeah, there's a huge multitude of issues. They're everything from, you know, the funding that we talked a little bit about, those are a lot of challenges. There's lots of potentially regulated compounds for water utilities, and they're trying to run businesses as well in many cases. So it's not one single thing, but a multitude of issues facing utilities.
Yeah, that makes it a lot more complicated, too, because all of them are probably affecting all of the others.
Right, yeah. Good.
Well, Lee, I hate to say it, but we're running low on time. Before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you? Send me some more email.
Sure, yeah.
and more importantly, where can I learn more about CH2M Hill?
So my email address is lee.odell@ch2m.com. And that's our website as well, ch2m.com.
All right. Lee Odell, the Water Treatment Global Technology Lead with CH2M Hill. Lee, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that wraps this segment. On behalf of our guest, Lee Odell, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, and all of us at Water Online, stick around for another exciting conversation. Water Online Radio will be right back.